Appreciate very much the fine singing this morning. Brother John Wright leading that singing. Janice and I are grateful for the opportunity that we have to come and to work with you at Woodbine. Not only to work with you, but to come and to worship with you as we come before our God to worship Him, as we come together to encourage and strengthen one another. As Christians, our desire is to ever be with the Lord. And we pray that together we can encourage one another to go to heaven. That's our goal. That's our aim. I realize in the situation that the elders were in with the death of Brother Jerry, that no one can replace this man who has been with you for a number of years. And I don't even suggest to try. But I pray that God will be with each of you in the grieving process, especially with his wife, his mother, and that y'all will remember, take to heart the memories that you had with him, and that we'll all seek to live our lives that we might be with him one day in heaven. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Today, although we live in the Christian age, and in our classes we call it the Christian dispensation, I suppose, and we use the New Testament as our guide, there's much to be gained from a study of the Old Testament, especially looking at the individuals, at its characters, at its principles. And there are episodes in Israel's history that took place on some mountain that I think have something to say to us today. And such a mountain is spoken of in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 6 through 14. Joshua chapter 14, 6 through 14. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fortified, great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Primarily we want to look at that phrase, now therefore give me this mountain. Number of years before, 40 years before, Caleb had been promised an inheritance that included this mountain. And the scene described here, Caleb was fully aware of all the difficulties that had been faced by God's people in the past 40 years. And he was also aware of the challenges yet to be faced. For 40 years earlier, Caleb, along with Joshua, was one of those 12 spies that went into the land, sent into the land by Moses the King James says, spy out the land. In army terms, it would be a reconnaissance or a patrol to just look over the lay of the land. And in 40 days, they came back, and 10 of the spies had a negative, defeatist attitude, said they couldn't take the land. Two men, Caleb and Joshua, said the land can be taken because God is on our side. These are two statements I would like to mention that were Caleb's words at that time. Numbers 13 and verse 30. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Speaking of the land that God had given, the land of promise, the land of Canaan. Numbers 13, verse 30. Again, in the next chapter, Numbers 14, verses 8 and 9. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Neither fear ye the people of the land. The Lord is with us. Caleb was confident. Caleb's confidence was based upon his relationship with God. And he realized that with God one day, the land would be theirs. And 40 years passed from the time that the spies went into the land. And the children of Israel have wandered in the wilderness 40 years. 1 year for each of the days that the spies spent in the land. And there were obstacles that had been overcome, but there were still many obstacles to overcome in the land. And Caleb was aware of the problems, and yet, even though he was looking at land that had a mountain on it, he said, give me this mountain. And today, with the example of Caleb before us, and with the knowledge of the mountains of God's people, of past generations, if you'll think just a minute, I'll list three or four of those. Remember Mount Sinai, where the people of God received the Ten Commandments and the law as Moses went into the mount. A law for God's people. And later in the history of God's people, if you recall Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel was a place where Elijah helped with God to have the victory over the prophets of Baal, a mighty victory. Then in the New Testament, we recall that Jesus went with Peter, James, and John up into the mountain and recall that Jesus was transfigured before these three. Also appearing was Elijah and Moses. But then Moses and Elijah and Jesus were there, and Peter had an idea. Let's build a tabernacle for each of the three. But that wasn't really as God would have it. In a moment there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples looking up, and only Jesus remained. Another mount late in the life of Jesus, when Jesus realized that his hour had come. The Mount of Olives in the area of the Garden of Gethsemane. We recall the kiss of betrayal by Judas in that garden. And the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father. Let this cup pass from me, but yet he said, not as I will, but thy will be done. Winning the battle of the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. This morning I want us to look at this phrase, give me this mountain, from the standpoint, as Caleb did, it was a challenge. We have lots of challenges before us as individuals. Challenges are decisions that we have to make on a daily basis. Our country is faced with many challenges. And as a congregation of God's people, we many times have challenges that we must meet. And how we meet these challenges determines the value that we are to God in helping him to carry out the great commission that Jesus gave to his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I want to look at three areas that I think can help us in thinking about these challenges. One of the things that bothers us, and I know bothers me, is I try to think about all the things that I may have to do in a particular day or a particular week, is I get all bumfuzzled. Y'all know that word? Bumfuzzled? Get all confused. But if I can put first things first, if I can make me a list and then tick off that that first item on that list, establishing priorities is the name of the game there, isn't it? Putting first things first to accomplish God's purpose in our lives and in the lives of a congregation of God's people, things to me that need to be done by purpose, on purpose, and for a purpose, which calls for planning. The number one priority of the church is to glorify God and to make disciples of people. A disciple is a learner, and thus we follow the Great Commission of Jesus. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, concerning those who would follow him, Jesus said this is the attitude. Christ says, if some man come to me and hate or love less, not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And this really echoed the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, all the things, the necessities of life. So we need to establish Christ as Lord of our lives. First place in our business, our family, and in our all. Now therefore, give me this mountain, this challenge. Number two, I think in addition to having a priority set up in our lives as to what is first, is to recognize our potential. And I'm not just talking about our abilities or the talents that God has given us. It's more than a recognition of those abilities, though that recognition is essential. We need to use our talents. We need to use our abilities for God. But before we can know what our potential is, we need to know who our potential is. Remember, Caleb didn't say, Moses, I can go in there and take that land, just Joshua and I'll go in there. Just the two of us. No, he said, with God, it could be done. With God, it could be done. We need to know who our potential is and have the attitude that Caleb had and recognize that God, being with him, he and God would be a majority. Psalmist said this in Psalm 62. Verse 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God. And here are a couple of verses in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, was very positive, very optimistic in what could be accomplished by God's people. He said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think, according to the power that worketh in us. I'm not talking about some hocus-pocus thing, moving us like puppets. But do you recall the situation with Joseph down into Egypt? It is said by God's providence he was down in Egypt. And he was down there to provide for things, so when that drought came, his brethren could come down into the land and be taken care of. It was God working through Joseph to accomplish this. Sometimes I think we can say we understand that God is able. But I'm not too sure that I can do anything. But listen, he not only says that God is able, but he's able to do great things, exceeding, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. So it's not that just God is able. If we have vision to do something as individuals or as a congregation, We have plans to do this. Guess where God's plans are? Greater, exceeding, abundantly, above all that we're able to think. So God will be with us. We need to have the attitude that the Apostle Paul had as he recognized his potential and he recognized who his potential was. Remember in Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things. Is that what he said, totally? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He knew that his strength was in Christ, not just in Paul. Oh, Paul had courage, he had ability, he had talents, he was educated. But he knew he was not able to do the many things he had to do without Christ being on his side and without looking to Jesus Christ. Compare Paul's statement of faith to do all things in Philippians 4:13 to the statement made by Jesus in John 15 in verse 5 when Jesus said, for without me you can do nothing. It's all things or nothing. And the difference is Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And now a third point. We have opportunities every day, don't we? And a lot of times I see the opportunities that I have and maybe I'm busy or I've got something else I'm doing and I let it slip. And as time goes on, that particular opportunity, that particular person is no longer interested in me talking to them or them talking to me. And so that opportunity goes by the wayside. Ephesians 5:15. To the Christians at Ephesus, Paul said, look carefully how you walk, redeeming or buying back the time, taking advantage of the opportunities or the time that we have. We need to seize those opportunities when they come our way. We need to help one another to recognize the opportunities that we have as individuals and as Christians. Perhaps there's a friend of yours, I don't know them, but they need to know Christ. And you can talk to them now. They're real friendly with you. Their next door neighbors live just down the street. They've even brought up the subject. What an opportunity. What about a Christian friend who needs encouraging? Sometimes we just need a pat on the back, don't we? Sometimes even though the sun is shining outside, it's difficult for the sun to be shining inside. And we need encouragement. Of course we need to have faith in God. But we need other brethren, sisters and brethren to encourage us. There needs to be that mutual encouragement. Now the only time that I can seize the opportunities that I have is now. And the only place that I can seize my opportunities is here. And the only one to seize my opportunities is me. Napoleon is reported to have said that there's a crisis in every battle, 10 or 15 minutes in length, on which the outcome of the battle depends. And to gain this is victory, and to lose it is defeat. Opportunities. Remember the five wise and five foolish versions in Jesus' story in Matthew 25, the parable. Those five wise virgins had their lamps with plenty of oil. Five foolish found that theirs were empty. When the bridegroom came, the five wise ones were ready. The five foolish were not ready. They had not prepared. And the statement was said, the door was shut. Lost opportunities. The door was shut. Jesus said concerning the work that he had to do upon this earth, he said, the night cometh when no man can work. Mountains have ever been a challenge to people in this country. Physical mountains. When we were settled many, many years ago, people coming into the East Coast had to cross mountains. And there was that mountain that said, this far you can go and no farther. And many people settled on the other side of the mountain. But many accepted that challenge. and rose to that day that challenge was there, and had the courage, had the faith and the vision, plus hard work, to say to such mountain, "We want you, we will cross." Caleb, like someone, always steps out and says, while you're choosing easy places, while you're choosing to the easy places and to go back into Egypt, give me this mountain. I want it for God. And here we are standing, not confronting physical mountains as such, but facing great possibilities, great opportunities in people. In people that, like little children, cry out for attention, cry out for respect, cry out for acceptance, cry out for love. And will we meet the challenge of service that is ours, of opportunities? Will we do service for God in this community, in our community? Or we will allow other people to do it, or will it go undone? We must establish proper priorities. Put first things first in our lives. And sometimes it's difficult to do, to get down to doing that. But things that are done need to be done by purpose, on purpose, and for a purpose. Planned. We must recognize our potential. Remember that Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And we need to seize those opportunities when we have them. The only time is now. The only place is here. The only one to seize them is me. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. So as we think of Caleb, we pray that each one of us will consider the great challenge that he accepted. I don't know how old the people got in his day, but I expect that 85 was right up there with the number of people who probably were ready to draw their Medicare and their Social Security. They didn't have that back then. But even at 85, he was willing to accept that challenge. We have those challenges facing us. We pray that each one of us will see the challenges that he has, that she has, and will accept them for God. This morning, if there's someone here not a Christian, why not come to Christ this morning confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins, then to be baptized that those sins might be washed away, that you might be forgiven, to rise from baptism, to walk in newness of life, a new creature in Christ. If as a Christian you need to rededicate your life, you need the prayers of this congregation, whatever you need, would you come as we stand, Brother Wright leads us in the song.
There's a fountain of grace for you and me. Let us make full haste to its grace. 'Tis a fountain.